Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Noah, I'll dive right in here, my friend. When you look and take stock of what you're hearing about this team at the deadline, do you think that it's going to be a feisty, very active deadline for Ben Cherington as things stand right now, or it's going to be fewer moves than maybe people have been expecting him to make?
I think it's going to be the former. I think that they're really motivated to change the roster in a way that allows it to be more competitive in 2026. I still think this group, this front office, believes that at its core, this roster can win games and compete to reach the postseason. It just needs a couple of major changes. And I think we all know the areas where those changes need to happen. They need offense, and they have some pitching assets that I think are among the most enticing on this year's market. When you look at what other starting pitchers are available and some of the top relief arms available, the Pirates have a lot to offer. They have a clear asking price. I think they really want established young hitters with a lot of club control. It now falls on Cherington to make those moves and make that happen. A lot of these guys, their value's never been higher. It might never ever be higher. So I think this is the time to strike, and I believe they will.
Noah, does you say the front office believes in like the basics, that if they augment this roster, they can contend. Do you get the sense that everybody else in the front office, the few people who are technically above Ben Cherington in this franchise, believe in his ability long-term to still be the steward of this roster and to put it together? Like, what is he deadlining for his job, in a sense, in your opinion, based on what you're hearing?
Perhaps. I think from the conversations that I've had with people in the organization, it's gotten to a point where, yeah, it's hard to defend the body of work as a whole. I think any rational human would look at the track record and say, the seat's got to be a little hot, right? And how do you not allow that to impact how you go about your job, especially when this is a time where all general managers are evaluated? Their performance in these stretches, these situations, can make or break their future with the team, especially in a situation like Cherington. So I definitely do think his seat's a little hot, and I think that, yeah, he'll be intensely evaluated on how he goes about his business over these next 10 days.
Noah, what or how many teams, I should say, are in the running right now for Mitch Keller? And, I mean, are we at now at the point where it's fait accompli based on what you're hearing, that he's going to be gone? How do you think, because that's the big chip, obviously, that has to be played or not played here. So how is that going to go? What's the latest on Keller?
To my understanding, there's four teams that I know of. It's the Cubs, it's the Mets, it's the Yankees, and the Blue Jays. I'm sure other teams have reached out, and I'm sure something will change between now and whenever that move is made. I wouldn't be shocked if it's one that goes all the way down to the wire. Cherington's been known to be a guy, or is known to be a guy, who waits until the very last second to make sure he has the absolute best deal on the table, the best deal possible. So I wouldn't be shocked if Mitch isn't moved until the last hour or so before the deadline expires. But I do really anticipate him being moved. It's gotten to a point where I would be very surprised if it doesn't happen. I don't know if it'll be one of those four teams. Those are the four teams that I've heard, again, have had consistent interest in him. I think all four of those locations make a lot of sense for Mitch Keller. But as this continues to unfold, I'm sure other teams are going to join into the fun, and there's going to be a lot of interest because he's the top starting pitching asset available on this year's market.
Noah, when you said that the Pirates want young, proven bats with years of control, preferably, you do mean guys who are technically at the major league level, not somebody who maybe has had a cup of coffee and is still blocked ultimately and is AAA for one team but would be majors for most others. They want major league players in return for a guy like Keller, correct?
I think that's the ultimate goal, yes.
Okay.
If not that, then like a top 100 prospect, someone with a very high ceiling. They want guys that they know can come in and be starters. They won't have to arrive and have a couple weeks in AAA and be a September call-up. They want to acquire at least one or two players who can come in and be everyday players, not only for the remainder of this season, but go into the offseason knowing, okay, well, we have that position filled because of what we did in the final days of July.
Any chance that they could just trade Kiner Falefa back for Charles McAdoo to the Blue Jays and just have that cycle just keep going there? No? What's the IKF situation going to be?
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
That we made that joke in the press box the other day. Actually, if you look at McAdoo's numbers, I don't know if that's a player they necessarily
want. Didn't he crater with the Blue Jays in their minors now? Yeah,
absolutely. They kind of fleeced him on that deal. But I mean, IKF's an interesting trade piece because I think he is an ideal addition to a trade. Like, I think he can make a good package a really strong package. I mean, if you pair him with Keller, you're getting a rental utility guy, which everyone needs at this time of the season, a guy who can play seven different positions really well defensively, and a guy who can hit around 270 at the bottom third of your lineup. And I think he can kind of sweeten the pot. So I wouldn't be shocked. I don't know if he's necessarily going to be attached with Mitch, but you could pair him with other guys too. If a team's interested in Bednar or Santana or Hayes or Reynolds or whoever else, I think IKF would best be utilized to pair alongside someone rather than trading him by himself.
How motivated are they to move Bednar? Because I'll admit, Bednar, I thought, was kind of cooked. And then he took his medicine, went down to the minors, fixed whatever was wrong. And he, to his extreme credit, I mean this, has been lights out pretty much the rest of the way here. Are they motivated to move him, or are they getting bit again by the, well, he is from here and he's good and maybe we'll be good next year and we could use a back-end bullpen arm? How are they viewing the hometown kid here?
If I had to guess, I think he's gone. I think if they had to keep one between him or Santana, I think they would rather keep Bednar. But I think they're in a position now where they're willing to move any asset that can improve their offense within reason. I mean, they're not going to move Skeens, obviously, but you know, there's a lot of interest in David Bednar. And after watching his value go from way up high to crater in 2024, the fact that it's back up to where, I don't know if it's ever going to get to where it was, you know, in the offseason of 2023 when teams were interested, when he was a back-to-back all-star, but it's high. He still has a year of control. If you're going to ever move him, this is the time to do it. They understand that. I think there's a high likelihood of that happening. If they had a perfect scenario where they could pick between one or the other, though, I think they'd rather move Santana and keep David.
Last one for you, Noah. Ke'Bryan Hayes, are we just watching the last 10 days of his Pirates tenure here? Because based on what you wrote today, it certainly seems like they are holding a large sign next to him that says for sale, free or best offer, basically.
I don't know if it's going to happen this deadline. I think that if it doesn't, it's going to continue on into the offseason. I just think that, you know, we kind of figured out what they have with Ke'Bryan Hayes now. He's staying healthy, right, for his standards. He's staying on the field. I just don't know if the bat's ever going to be what they hoped it would be when he signed that extension. He's still a great defensive player, and they probably have an ideal value they'd like to get for him. I think a big part of that value is simply getting his money off the books. But if they can get a little bit more than just that, then they're going to take that offer on. And I think they're going to keep looking for that offer. And if it doesn't happen by July 31st, then they'll gladly go into the offseason continuing to search for that value.
He's Noah Isles, beat writer for the Pirates over at the Post Gazette. We always appreciate the insights, Noah. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.